The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom does such a nice job for us engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show. Today is Wednesday. It's March 11th, 2020, midweek edition. So much information to cover in the next hour. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. I want to get right into our lead interview with Dr. Richard Carmona, former Surgeon General, who is now the Chief of Health Innovation at the Resort Spa Canyon Ranch here in Tucson. Dr. Carmona was a Vice Admiral in the Public Health Service Commission Corps. He served as the 17th Surgeon General of the United States. After 4 years in that post, Dr. Carmona returned to Tucson, where he is Vice Chair of the Canyon Ranch Resort and Spa Company. He's President of the nonprofit Canyon Ranch Institute, a professor at the Zuckerman College of Public Health at the University of Arizona. Dr. Carmona, what a career this man has had, and just always a pleasure and an honor to welcome him to the show. His medical career, beginning as a United States Army Special Forces medic, that was back in 1967. He's a combat-decorated Vietnam veteran. He's had a very successful law enforcement career and connected to the Pima County Sheriff's Department since 1986. Are you still connected with the department?
Sure am.
I thought yes, so. In 2012, Dr. Carmona tried his hand at politics, became the Democratic Party's nominee for the U.S. Senate, losing to Republican challenger Congressman Jeff Flake. Dr. Carmona, always an honor to have you on the program, and especially in these very troubled times that we live in. Good to see you, sir.
Good to be with you too, Bill. Thank you.
The World Health Organization made it official today, declaring coronavirus outbreak a pandemic. This was pretty much a no-brainer, wasn't it, Dr. Carmona?
Yes. You know, they've been following it for a while, and declaring it a pandemic just denotes that it has a global, worldwide spread.
We have our live line open. I want to let folks call in if you have any questions about coronavirus, 790-2040. Let's begin with the basic. What is coronavirus?
Well, the coronaviruses, this classification of viruses, were discovered right in the 1960s, so they're not new. They are typically your flu kind of viruses, and other diseases have emanated from that as well. SARS and MERS, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, SARS and so on, those are coronaviruses as well. So what happens, these viruses, they change their fingerprints, if you will, their genetic makeup, and we rename them when they become a new disease. But they're all pretty much the same classification.
What makes this one so dangerous?
Well, it's a little more dangerous because it's what we call a novel virus, that the public hasn't experienced it yet because it changed its genetic makeup. So therefore, you don't have immunity to it. So for the average person, you'll get sick, you'll have a flu-like symptoms. But for people who are chronically ill, those who have cancer, those who have AIDS, those who are on medications for chronic diseases that suppress their immune system, like taking steroids and drugs that would do that, those people are much more vulnerable, and it would be expected that there'd be a higher percentage of morbidity and mortality in those populations. But let's put that in perspective, Bill. Every year, over 40,000 people die in the United States of the common flu.
And this has been a particularly bad flu season,
yes.
Especially for
yes.
kids. It's been a really bad one.
Yes.
Is it because it's unknown and there is no vaccine? Is that what's driving this panic? Have you, in your career, Dr. Carmona, have you ever seen anything like the panic we're seeing with this? And is it partially being driven by social media?
Well, my sense is, Bill, that we have had other instances of emerging infections, SARS, MERS, and so on. At this particular time, because of a whole host of reasons, including the rapid dissemination of information through digital platforms, but also including, at the very highest level,
mixed messaging.
Mixed messaging is a generous term. I would say that, you know, The public doesn't want politicians giving them health advice. Mm-hmm. They want the health experts to give them the health advice. This is a medical and public health problem. It is not a political problem. And so with the mixture of political messaging and the health professionals trying to give messages, it creates uncertainty. We've seen it in our markets where the stocks have dropped. We've seen it in people not sure what to do because of the uncertainty of the messaging. So all of those contribute to the problem we're having and the stress that is placed in society and the mental health problems which will ensue from that stress.
Let's go to the live line. Ingrid has a question for Dr. Carmona. 790-2040 for your questions for the doctor. Go ahead, Ingrid.
I hope my phone is working well now. Thank you for the information that you've already given. Makes a whole lot of sense to the rest of us. There are a few issues. You mentioned certain medications like steroids. Are there any other kinds of medications that are commonly taken that can reduce your immunity? Mm-hmm. Also, when it comes to allergies, I understand it's a kind of a hyper reaction to various things in the air. I don't know if having an immunity system is involved in that, if at all.
Okay, Ingrid.
Well, I'll go ahead. Thank you for your question.
Thank you very much. Reducing your immunity. Are there certain drugs are taking right now that reduce your immunity?
Yeah. I gave a few examples. Of course, there are many. So in a general classification, people who are taking drugs, for instance, to suppress their cancer, that also suppresses the immune system. People who are on steroids for a whole host of diseases. For instance, if you have rheumatoid arthritis, you might be on a steroid. If you have asthma and it's not controlled well, you might be on a steroid. So in broad classifications of drugs, of which there are many, those suppress your immune system and make you more susceptible to having a worse outcome from the flu if you get it.
Do allergies reduce your immune system?
Not necessarily, because what an allergic response is, it's your body telling you that something is foreign and it's reacting to it. Generally speaking, if it's just a mild allergy, like hay fever, for instance, that you get seasonal allergies, probably would not. But of course, if your allergies are severe and you get respiratory distress with them, that puts you in a different category.
How about therapeutics, things like Tamiflu that have been very successful if you take it within the first 48 hours of fever?
Antiviral medications in many cases can attenuate the viral infection, make it less potent and shorten the term. However, in this particular virus, which is new, it's uncertain. We don't have that information because it's relatively new and it hasn't been tested if it would work. Again, the fingerprint, if you will, the genetics of this novel virus are a little different than these other coronaviruses, which we've dealt with in the past.
And at the University of Nebraska, the medical center, they are using, in fact, they've already started human trials, Dr. Carmona, on a vaccine that was used in 2014. Unfortunately, the vaccine really was unsuccessful with Ebola, but apparently there's been some talk that this could help in the coronavirus.
There are a lot of people attempting to look at other vaccines that have been used in the past, especially for coronaviruses, and would they work today? Again, the antibodies that are generated when you give a vaccine are specific to that particular organism or a virus in this case. The fact that this virus has mutated, the question is there some cross-reactivity ability that another vaccine may help, even if it doesn't protect you wholly, but at least reduce the incidence? And those are unknown yet. But our NIH, Dr. Fauci, who's one of the world's preeminent virologists, and others around the country are looking at this to see what we can do acutely and as well as develop a vaccine specific for coronavirus.
Here's another question came in on our Facebook page. What about clusters, Dr. Carmona? Why do we have clusters like we've seen in Iran, in Italy, and in our country, like New Rochelle, New York?
Right.
Well, and the Seattle area.
Yes. Clusters just denote an outbreak of many people in a localized area. And one of the reasons you're hearing the term social distancing is to try and prevent clusters. So if you have a fever, if you don't feel well, we tell you stay home. If you cough, you sneeze, do it in such a way that it doesn't get broadcast over. Use a tissue, sneeze or cough into your armpit and so on. All of those things are important to prevent the spread. But clustering is telling our epidemiologist that there is a concentration of people that are sharing that virus person to person. And if we don't decluster those areas, okay, then the problem we have is that we'll spread the disease even more.
People are freaking out because they can't get hand sanitizers. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Carmona, I have seen, and I'm sure you have too, the images of the hand that is put up. It's the ultraviolet. It will show you after a hand sanitizer, and on the right side, it will show you the hand that was washed for 20 seconds with good old soap and water. The difference, there was still 20% of virus on the hand sanitizer while the soap and water hand was clean.
The important thing to remember, whether you use a liquid sanitizer with alcohol or if you use soap and water, is you need to do it for 20 or 30 seconds at least. The mechanical action of scrubbing is actually helping to move the virus, in some cases, or bacteria from your hands. So just make sure you do it for long enough and frequently enough that if you're touching surfaces that you're not familiar with, you're on a plane, you're in a car, you're at home, and the kids were just there after school with all their friends eating, you know, you want to wipe down those surfaces. And what we have to have is a heightened awareness now and not take anything for granted. Just keep desanitizing, wash your hands frequently in the manner I said, and practice good social distancing. If you don't have to be in large crowds, don't be there. Curtail your travel to the travel that is absolutely necessary and be a good steward of public health.
Why are people making these huge runs on toilet paper? Somebody bought 240 pallets of it. What
well,
the heck?
what is Bill, I don't know that specific case, but what I see is there's a great deal of uncertainty the last few days, week. I've received calls from all over the country, from businesses that I'm associated with, academic institutions, because of uncertainty. There hasn't been a single uniform, credible message going out on a regular basis from the highest levels of government to create some trust in the programs and processes that we have in place to protect the public. And because of that, people are not sure who to turn to.
All right, we're going to pause right here, Dr. Carmona, 790-2040, if you'd like to join us with a question or comment. Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery, Dr. Carmona, they do such a beautiful job up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Have you been up there, Dr. Carmona?
I have.
They do a beautiful job. They're the home of the Danish Kringle. Open right now for lunch. They get the grill all fired up at 6:30 in the morning for your hot breakfast. Check it out. As I say, the Danish Kringle, oh my goodness, so good. And pretty much anything you want as far as breakfast, you can do that. If you want to do it right now and forget about lunch, that's fine too. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. There's also a link at buckmastershow.com, not only for Mona's, but all of the great sponsors, the partners who make this program possible. Please support them. We'll be right back. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district.
The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Amadouro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Oh my goodness, we're trying to get as much information into our 1 hour here today as possible. The first half hour of it with former United States Surgeon General Dr. Richard Carmona. 790-2040. Lauren has been waiting patiently. Lauren, you're with Dr. Carmona. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I don't want to cast aspersions, but by highest form of government spreading disinformation, I assume we're talking about the present administration. Now, let me say this. I would submit to you that the media is as culpable, if not more so, in spreading disinformation. That's my comment. My question is, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm no expert, weren't the vital statistics, as in the death toll for MERS, drastically higher than for this virus?
Well, first, thanks for your comment and question. And you've heard me say previously that there's a lot of people that are involved in this misinformation, both sides. I would say my remarks are bipartisan. But we expect that from the federal level that we're going to have a uniform, consistent message. But then the media gets it, and of course it goes left or right as well. So there's a lot of people that are culpable. We should all be working together right now to have a uniform, predictable, credible message that will give the people reassurance that those in positions of responsibility are working in their best interest and that the public understands what's being done. As far as SARS, MERS, and others, there's been many other viral diseases that have a significant impact on society. I pointed out earlier in speaking with Bill on this program that we have over 40,000 deaths a year from just the common flu. And yet we still have people that don't get immunizations, that believe
half
vaccines
the people, half do
are,
not get a flu shot.
Yeah, that vaccines are a hoax and that it is a way that people are making money, which is absolutely untrue. So all of those things contribute to a population that gets disease that is largely preventable.
All right, couple of quick questions. Weather, will this be weather sensitive? And if you get it, what about your immunity? And I think the answer you're going to give will probably be tied to the fact that it is new, so we have no real guarantees any on either of these.
That's correct. But we know that the common flu, which is a corona-type virus, that peaks as we get into the late fall, winter months, and then kind of dies down when it gets warmer, late spring and summer. We're hoping that it'll follow the same pattern. the thing is that's important, that even if it does follow the same pattern, we can do a lot as the public in practicing good public health, hand washing, sanitation, all the things we've spoken about. And that will help to, if you will, stop the spread, but also maybe curtail it earlier so that less people get infected.
And again, the immunity question, can you get it twice?
Well, again, this is a new virus. Yeah. We don't know. There are most viruses that when you become infected, you develop antibodies and you have some relative protection. How long that protection lasts, that's part of vaccinology studying. You know, some vaccines are good for a certain amount of years and so on. So this is a novel virus. We don't know for sure. But for the average person, you will have expected to have some immunity after you've been infected.
Oh, boy, I've got so many questions for Dr. Carmona, and I only have about 6 minutes, so let's try to get through some of these. A big one are the masks. And I know, Dr. Carmona, you're still traveling, and your advice to people, if you do have some kind of an immune issue, watch out in that area. But are you seeing folks wearing masks on airplanes and in airports?
Yes, it's even before this, I would see that. People think it's protective. There's two groups. People think that's going to protect them. And then you have people that are sick and they're coughing. Well, they shouldn't be on the plane then. I mean, even before this outbreak of coronavirus 19, if you're coughing, if you have a fever, you should not be in a big group because you're going to be a vector and spread disease. Now with this coronavirus number 19, it's the same thing. The paper masks you wear, the bacteria viruses can permeate. Once they get moist, it's difficult. Plus, it's not a tight seal, so air goes in and out on the sides. So you may get a sense of protection, but it really, truly is not protective.
Are there lessons that will, when we do the analysis of this, and this will end, there'll be a time when we can look back and say, maybe it hasn't been wise to have a supply chain so heavily dependent on China, where 97% of the antibiotics that are used in this country are sourced out of China. That seems crazy to me.
Well, but Bill, you make some good points. First, all of us are in the public health profession are thinking now of the retrospective review. Every day we're looking back to say, what's happening? What are we doing that's good? What are the challenges we have? Because this is kind of a novel challenge to the nation and the world. As far as practices and supply chain, notwithstanding the current challenge with coronavirus, everybody has to consider where am I sourcing my materials? Where am I manufacturing? We need to have redundant systems. We learned this years ago when I was Surgeon General, and we didn't have enough flu vaccines, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because a lot of companies got out of the business. So now we've ramped that up again, but it's just as important for business to determine we have redundant systems so that if one factory fails one day, we are not without essential things. The fact that this is in a foreign country where our FDA inspectors have to go there and inspect on a regular basis, and those inspections right now have been curtailed because of travel. So we're not inspecting things that are being done there. That becomes almost a national security issue
yes,
as well.
Yes, okay?
So those are things we have to think about in the future to make sure that our sourcing and of ingredients as well as the manufacture of products that are essential to the health, safety, and security of the United States are distributed in a redundant system that we can rely on that will not fall if we're all our eggs in one basket, so to speak.
Here is a very basic question that the CV, the coronavirus, will it be a part of the palette, if you will, of viruses that perhaps will be included in a vaccine like the flu shot vaccine we get? What's to say this is here forever? We'll build immunities to it, but we can't really say it's suddenly going to disappear.
No, we can't. And so your point is a good one. But in the science of vaccinology, on an annual basis, what happens is scientists get together at the end of the year, the calendar year, and the epidemiologists and scientists start looking around the world at where are the new evolving viruses. And then they really, it's a guessing game. Knowing weather patterns, knowing migration patterns, knowing where our history is, they then make vaccines that are going to be relevant to the top 2, 3, or 4 viruses that are identified. That's how we get our vaccines today. It's getting better because with artificial intelligence, machine learning, predictive analytics, we're able to better protect which germs are going to be coming our way. However, we can't predict mutations as well. And this case in coronavirus 19 is a regular coronavirus that mutated. And that's a different issue.
Dr. Carmona, we have 1 minute left. I want you now, I'm going to turn over the Buckmaster Show microphones. Speak directly to the people of Tucson. What is your summary for us?
Well, the summary is we have a novel virus that the public should be aware of, and that it will evolve like most viruses, but we the people can take actions to help it evolve more quickly and stop the spread of infection. We have an excellent emergency medical system here in our community to respond when and if we need that help. There's infrastructure in place with our public health. Dr. Francisco Garcia, who runs our public health department, is a superb, superb manager of public health. So all of those are in place. But for the people, there are things we must do to help our first responders, our doctors, our hospitals to curtail the spread of this. And that's simple public health measures that we've already spoken about.
Wash those hands.
Yes.
Dr. Carmona, always a pleasure. I very much appreciate our conversations over the years. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
Buckmaster Show, Midway Point in our midweek edition. Coming up next, State Representative Andres Cano, District 3, has some very interesting information coming out of the state capitol concerning the coronavirus. Be right back on Buckmaster.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-7000. 6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things celebrating 50 years and still growing. I love that. They've got a lot of stuff growing over there on their 13-acre site on River Road. Find out more at greenthingsaz.com. Also, you can find out more about Zocalo Village at zocalovillage.com. But if you're in the neighborhood, certainly stop by for all of your plant needs and your wonderful, wonderful opportunities to purchase some just beautiful furniture, Talavera pottery as part of the Zocalo Village that they have over there. So check it out, zocalovillage.com and greenthingsaz.com. All right, by the way, we've had some requests, folks wondering, they didn't hear the whole interview with Dr. Carmona. The half-hour interview that we did, great information from Dr. Carmona, no nonsense there, just straightforward what you need to know about coronavirus. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. We'll have that posted on our website probably within a couple of hours of the conclusion of our program at buckmastershow.com. Let's go to the state capitol now. State Representative Andres Cano. He is the Democratic representative from District 3. Representative Cano, how are you this afternoon?
Hi, Bill. Well, I understand the rain is making sure that our desert is nourished, and I'm happy about that, and it's good to be on your show.
Thank you. It's always good to have some rain, especially this time of year. I thought what you called upon yesterday was very a common sense, straight approach to this coronavirus. You called on the governor to convene all of the lawmakers, 90 Arizona lawmakers from the Senate and from the House of Representatives to get together. Let's have a meeting. Let's all get on the same page about coronavirus and what the response is going to be. Have you heard anything since you sent that letter out yesterday?
Thanks, Bill. Well, it's a yes and no answer. I spoke a couple of days ago with Dr. Francisco Garcia, who Dr. Carmona just mentioned is an incredible public health advocate at the Capitol, and here in Pima County, I think he is a trusted voice. And so I went straight to him the moment that we had a first reported case of COVID, and I said, what can we do better? And ultimately, I think he said, well, our state health department's doing all that we can, continue to call on the governor's office and this legislature to act. And so my response was just that. And I think ultimately, there are a lot of Arizonans who are paying close attention to this issue. The legislature has the ability to appropriate funds and work in tandem with the governor to make sure that our local partners have the resources that they need, ensure that testing is not only accessible, but that some of these restrictions that are currently available there are loosened so that we can make sure that anyone with symptoms has a test. And there's no reason why our providers, our medical providers, should feel as though they are not able to do their job. Let's let them do their job and appropriate a fund. And that is one of the issues that we set forth with the governor in a meeting that our House Democratic leadership had with the governor's office yesterday. So, Bill, that's a long way to say got the ball rolling, my statement did. And I'm glad that we're working collaboratively, because I think there are a lot of constituents who are looking to us to lead in a time of uncertainty.
I'll tell you what I'd do if I were the governor in this day of optics and social media and information. I would call, even if it's for an afternoon, a special session of the Arizona legislature. All the members, gather them all together. Here's what we are doing in Arizona. This, Andres Cano, would go a long way to calming the people of this state down. What do you think?
I totally would support a special session of this legislature. It was part of the first draft of the statement that I had issued that ultimately I think you read, Bill. But I think ultimately what we have to make sure is that Arizonans know that this governor and this legislature are taking this very seriously. The problem right now that we face is that this legislature is almost completing its 54th legislative session. And so if we were to appropriate dollars, if we were to set up a fund to address things like paid sick leave, what do you do when our state employees are having COVID-19 symptoms and they have to choose between going to work or staying home? We have to have those conversations and make sure that every employee in Arizona is taken care of. And if it takes the state of Arizona needing to call a special legislative session to enact legislation that allows us to have paid sick leave or appropriate, I don't know, 25, 30 million, whatever million appropriation we need, that's what we ought to be doing. And I think the governor and our House Democratic leadership, which is all I can speak for at this point. We want to be a part of those conversations, and I think the governor's office has been very open to all ideas on the table.
All right. One thing, Andres Cano, I didn't have time to bring up with Dr. Carmona, and I think it's incredibly important. How many Americans live paycheck to paycheck, and they get a cold or they get a flu, or it could be the coronavirus. They don't know. Do you think they're going to rush to the doctor to want to even know if they've got the coronavirus, with a risk of being quarantined for 14 days and all that loss of a paycheck or two? It's just not going to happen in many cases. That's my opinion anyway.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Bill. Paid sick leave is something that long time has been considered a top Democratic priority here at the legislature, because we know that Arizonans will have to choose between their health care and going to work. And no, 14 days with no pay is something that this legislature absolutely has to address. Housing, what happens when we already have a housing crisis, 30 evictions per day in southern Arizona? If you get a diagnosis of COVID-19, are we going to evict you from your home and because you're not able to pay your bills and go to work? Those are the conversations that I understand our House leadership on the Democratic side had with the governor's office yesterday. And I'm hopeful that we'll continue to have these conversations because it's the right thing to do.
All right. I've only got about a minute or so with you. And, of course, I wanted to cover some of the coronavirus information. Anything else from the legislature? What's your overall opinion on the session?
Well, Bill, I think the budget is continuing to make its way through the legislative process that we were supposed to be out. We're not. This is responding to this public health crisis, I think, has now shifted the focus as it should. We have an economy that needs us. We have working families that deserve our protection, vulnerable adults, people who get their meals delivered at home that are going to need us to be leading here at the Capitol. And so I think at this point we're paying close attention every single hour to how this legislature can best be of service. And I think more than anything, Bill, listen to Dr. Carmona. Do the basic things that make most sense if you can, which are protect your bodies, stay home if you can, wash your hands. And I think ultimately if we can come together on an issue here at the legislature to address this issue, it's going to be a good day for all of us.
All right, Andres Cano, stay well. Appreciate what you're doing at the state legislature. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Andres Cano, state representative, district number 3. When we come back, Damian Klinko is with us, CEO of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. They've been doing just such a great job in making sure some of these beautiful landmarks here in Tucson continue to stay that way. Damian is with me next on the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, a midweek edition. Be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a beautiful area of the southwestern United States. An historic area. We send so many of our listeners over to that area, and they come back and they say, Bill, I had no idea that Silver City was such a cool place with all these great Victorian buildings that they have, and just a lot of history in that area. Good starting points. southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find information about where to stay, some great places in the area, and all sorts of recreation ideas, including outdoor activities, hiking in the Gila, or at the going up and visiting the historic monument there, the Cliff Dwellings National Monument, one of America's first national monuments, created all the way back in like 1906 by President Teddy Roosevelt. southwestnewmexico.org. We're going to talk about historic preservation right here in Tucson. Damian Klinko is with us. He is CEO of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. Damian wears so many different hats. He's the top executive with Catalina In-Home Services. He's the president of the five-member governing board of Pima Community College. Damian, good to see you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's great to be here.
Boy, you guys got so much going on with the Tucson with the Historic Preservation Foundation. Was this something you created, this foundation?
So the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation was created in the early 1980s.
Okay.
And it, with a mission and a focus to really preserve our unique architectural and built environment. And it became dormant by the 1990s. And then I was asked to help revive it in the early 2000s. So for the last 13 years, we've been very busy working to educate and inform our community about our unique cultural resources and assets.
You were so out front on the Broadway situation with the widening of Broadway. There were some buildings that certainly deserved to continue with life, a second look. And what happened to those buildings, Damian Klinko?
So Rio Nuevo, led by Fletcher McCusker, has really been transformative in changing the trajectory of this project. Initially, the project had been designed to tear down almost all of the buildings on the north side of the street with the
total wipeout
with the road being widened to 8 lanes. Because of a huge amount of community advocacy, the plan was reduced to 6 lanes. And that's when Rio Nuevo stepped in. They saw the economic value of repurposing this stock of rather remarkable mid-century modern and 20th century buildings and turn them into a high-producing commercial area again. Mm-hmm. And this will generate significant returns in taxes for generations to come. So it's a smart investment. It saves these buildings from being hauled to the dump. They are important architectural assets that are part of our 20th century heritage. And it's what makes Tucson unique.
Where will they be repurposed, or how will they be repurposed? And give us the general location of where some of these buildings will be wind up.
So the widening is happening between Euclid and Country Club. Mm-hmm. And there's a variety of different approaches for different parts of the street. So there are a series of bungalows that are actually being moved on their property back out of the way of the widening. A new foundation is being built, and then those will be put back. And then a plan to commercialize those. So think about Raging Sage Campbell as sort of a model of how these smaller spaces can really become incubators for small business and really become a destination. Further down the street, some of the strips, like Sola Plaza and the Friedman Block, both have these wonderful collections of mid-century commercial storefronts with Populux windows and faceted glass. And those, I think, will be repurposed back into commercial spaces and restaurants and, again, become sort of destinations along the corridor that will create this dynamic linkage as the street comes back online.
Damian Klinko, what have your signature events been? Give us the quick overview of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. One that I know a lot of people love is the Tucson Modernist Week, but you've really kind of got the calendar spread with outstanding events spaced out through the year.
So our two main events are, as you mentioned, Modernism Week, which is in the fall, which is a celebration of Tucson's mid-century modern design and heritage. That event takes place over 10 days with about 45 to 50 events. It attracts people from all over the country now, and last year's attendance topped 7,000. But it includes films and parties and lectures and a host of fun tours and trailer shows. In the spring, in 2 weeks, we hold a home tour, which mm-hmm. we have traditionally done in the spring. Mm-hmm. And this year, we're focusing that tour on the really remarkable and epic ranches northwest of Tucson, which have really never been open to the public like this before. So it's a unique opportunity for individuals to come and experience these ranching traditions, not only in Southern Arizona, but all the way up into Oracle, with multiple stops and in a really beautiful Arizona landscape and seeing these historic resources. So the tour is outdoors. It's pretty low impact, and mm-hmm. it's self-guided, so you drive yourself from home to home.
Yeah, and the footprint of these ranches, really, they were the if you think of historic preservation, they were kind of the spine of what Southern Arizona, especially the Tucson area, was about, Damian Klinko.
They were a major economic touchstone for the region. These were working cattle ranches that then became dude ranches mm-hmm. and became an epicenter of tourism for the region. They also served as places for people with tuberculosis to come out west and feel the fresh, healing air of Arizona. Today, many of these places serve as art communities and places where there is dynamic culture still happening. So it's a real treat to be able to sort of see this continuum and experience these really distinctive and unique places that are generally not open to the public.
Where do you folks get tickets?
You can visit our website at preservetucson.org, and you can check out a host of other projects and events and things that we're working on throughout the year. We've recently purchased an amazing property in Midtown Tucson and restored it, and it's available for immersive experiences and overnight stays or just visits and tours.
Oh, is that the one that was used for visiting professors and things?
Yeah, it was a property designed by Arthur T. Brown, built for Patricia Paler and Phyllis Ball mm-hmm. in 1952, and it was one of the early passive solar houses in our community, and it was highly photographed and appeared in many magazines and became very influential across the United States.
Weren't you featured in this Sunday Star with my friend Brooks Jeffries from the University of Arizona talking about some of your favorite historic buildings?
Indeed. This past Sunday, yeah, there was a great Sunday. Article that highlighted a number of publicly accessible buildings from the 20th century and even more recent that Brooks identified. That really showcase the remarkable and distinctive architecture of our region.
What were a couple that you like? Real quickly.
Yes, I particularly love the Wilmot Wilmot Public Library. It was designed by Nick Sakeller, a gorgeous mid-century modern building. Also, El Presidio Plaza downtown, which is surrounded by some of our major civic buildings, is a great public space, as well as the Tang Market, which is today the Empire Foods on 9th.
Oldest continuously operated
Chinese market
here in the Tucson area. Okay, I do want to ask you about Pima Community College.
Absolutely.
You're the president of the governing board. How are things going at Pima?
You know, Pima College has gone through a tremendous transformation over the last 5 years, led by Lee Lambert and a very thoughtful directive and policy direction from the board. The college has really begun a tremendous transformation. We were on academic probation by our accreditors. We were on sanction from the U.S. Department of Education. Both of those have been completely removed. Just a few weeks ago, we were recognized with a Bellwether Award, one of the most prestigious awards in higher education, for our work around developmental education and providing wraparound services and integrating those services into our general programs. The college has really made a 180-degree turnaround, and we're now leading the way, I believe, in community college education in this country. My commitment is that Pima Community College is the premier community college, not just in this community and in this state, but in this country, because the people of Southern Arizona deserve nothing less.
Talk about a turnaround for Pima. It really has. It's been amazing what's gone on, how this institution has turned around.
Yeah, it's been a huge shift, both a paradigm shift and a cultural shift. Mm-hmm. And it's been done in a time where, you know, there was really has been a lack of resources. The state of Arizona zeroed out general fund funding for Pima Community College a number of years ago, and that has not come back, although the state last year was incredibly generous and gave us a $15 million appropriation specifically for our aviation expansion. The college has really begun to focus on centers of excellence. We're building programs really tailored and designed for the industries that are here in Southern Arizona.
Like Caterpillar and
tailor-made
programs. Tailor-made,
aviation, advanced manufacturing, automotive, allied health, the major industries in our community. These programs will align very tightly to not only providing opportunities for credentials, but then also really clearing the path for smooth transition to our state universities.
All right, Damian Klinko, CEO of Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. Tickets to the 2020 home tour. The Epic Ranch is northwest of Tucson. Where can people get the tickets?
PreserveTucson.org.
And Damian, also involved at Catalina In-Home Services. You're probably very busy over there as well, right?
Yes.
And your meetings are open to the public, the five-member Pima Community College Board meetings. You meet every month, right?
Yes, we meet the second Wednesday of every month. We're meeting this evening.
Very cool. Damian, good to see you. We'll have to have you back on more often. I appreciate it very much.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Damian Klinko with us on The Buckmaster Show. And again, folks, we have a very extensive podcast program, pretty much every show we've done over the last 9 years. And today's show is pretty darn important, not just the information Damian had, but Andres Cano from the state legislature and then Dr. Carmona. Great content in this program. It's available for you at buckmastershow.com. Probably within about an hour or two, we'll get that up. On behalf of Damian Klinko and Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.